It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. In this episode, we're rebuilding the Houston Texans. We are fixing that franchise. But don't worry, even if you are not a fan of the Houston Texans, this episode has plenty of draft analysis. A lot of talk about what Houston is going to do and their structure at the top, of course. But we do a lot of previewing of the upcoming free agency class for a lot of different positions and how the draft is going to work, because this episode ends with a mini, well, not so many because the Texans have so many picks, mock draft that we go through in the mock draft simulator that goes all the way through three rounds. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me, as always, is Connor Rogers. Let's ring the bell. Welcome to the opening bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That is Connor Rogers. Joining you on a Wednesday edition of the show, bringing you back a topic that we haven't done in a while, Connor, and I feel like the good people have demanded this of us. Today, we are fixing the Houston Texans. We're dipping back into the Fix Your Franchise series. We've done this with a couple of teams so far, but a lot of Texans fans have tweeted at us, given us messages saying, when are you fixing the Texans? It's been constant. Now I feel like the volume has been too loud for us to ignore it any longer, my friend. But how are you doing? Are you ready for this journey to bring the Texans franchise back to glory?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm excited for this one, and we're delivering on our promise. So our promise was, when they hire a coach, we will fix the Texans, because there is no point often, besides the Panthers, which was a very timely one when we did that, but often there's really no point. You'd rather have the coach laid out, because that's going to guide you to free agency. That's going to guide you to the draft. It's really going to help you develop your own blueprint going with that coach's principles. We on this show, I'm sure it happens by accident or just by chance once in a while, but quite often we like to avoid scenarios that just don't make a lot of sense, whether it's a player that would never play in that coach's front or scheme or might not be a good fit. So the Texans got DeMeco Ryans, which is awesome for them. Such a big time huge move win for the Houston Texans. I thought this, with this roster and with the recent track record of Nick Caserio, that it would be a tough swing to get what I thought was the top guy on the market at in the head coaching cycle, but they did it, and good for them. And this gives them, Trevor, a lot of momentum into getting this roster where it needs to be a competitor in a division that, yes, Jacksonville is going in the right direction. We think with Mike Vrabel at the helm, Tennessee will always be hanging around, but this is one of the more vulnerable divisions in all of football.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. This is a division that is, I don't want to say like totally right for the taking, because I do think that Jacksonville is on the upswing and they've got the young franchise quarterback and they've got the head coach that I believe in. So I do feel like the Jags are maybe taking over that division, but there's going to be a lot of power changes, swings, if you will, from these teams that are there for the reasons that you laid out. I did not think they were going to get DeMeco Ryans. We'll dive into DeMeco, but we're going to touch on Nick Caserio as well. We're going to hit like what their overlook is in free agency, how much money they have, the positions that they could go after. And then, of course, because this is a draft show, we're going to give you guys a mini mock draft at the end, a three-round mock draft, which for Houston actually includes five draft picks. So
yeah, it's a full draft.
it's maybe not a mini mock draft for the Houston Texans, but I did not think that they were going to get DeMeco Ryans. I felt like DeMeco was basically just going to have his pick of any team. And maybe he did to a sure, certain extent. I mean, there are head coaching vacancies that were filled a little bit before San Francisco got eliminated from playoff contention, but it feels like the Niners lasting as long as they did in the playoffs. I don't want to say hurt Ryans, but maybe that was just a blessing for the Texans, because when he became available, when it was like, all right, I'm going to turn the page here, I'm going to look at other head coaching opportunities, the Texans were the ones that he ultimately gravitated towards. And he's a legend of the franchise as well. He was drafted by the Texans, but we're going to get into all of that. I do want to start at the very top, though. I want to have a little discussion about Nick Caserio. Caserio is their general manager, 47 years old. He's going into his third year as the GM for the Texans. This is now back-to-back seasons in his first two seasons as general manager in which he has fired a head coach after 1 year. Texans are just 7-26-1 under Caserio. And it feels like that seat's pretty damn hot, man. DeMeco Ryan's got a 6-year deal as the head coach there, but there is not nearly that much confidence that Caserio is going to be the guy for the entire Ryan's tenure, however long he is there. And it just feels like this is a massive make or break year for Caserio. So my first question to you is just, what are your thoughts overall about where we are? Maybe that power dynamic of a brand new head coach, a fan favorite, a franchise head coach coming in with a general manager who might be on his last leg, or at least has to really show improvement this year if he's not going to be out the door a year from now.
He does, Trevor. And to be fair to Nick Caserio, and I think he's had his struggles, but and you know, when you take a job, I think you understand a lot of things that come with it. So Caserio was named the GM of the Texans in January of 2021. So we are now officially 2 full years in of the Nick Caserio era. That means he's had 2 drafts to turn things around, 2 free agencies. Obviously, dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation as well was an obstacle that makes things pretty difficult. And now, hopefully, with the picks they have and cap flexibility they have, it'll make his job a little bit easier. In a sense, this is a guy that was in New England for 20 seasons. So tons of experience working with Bill Belichick and that franchise, and a lot of winning during that time. I think with Caserio, what you like, in a sense, is that you can kind of see, I think at least, you can see his strategy outside of quarterback so far. You can see how he's trying to build this roster. They took a swing for a guy like Stingley. That's a very New England situation where they want a premium blue chip player at corner that can open up the rest of their defense. I thought it was an up and down rookie season for Stingley, but there's still so much talent packed in there. And DeMeco Ryan should... yeah, I think he'll be fine as well. And it's always health with Stingley. If he's healthy, I think he'll be completely fine. I think he has tried different things with limited resources in the trenches. They took Kenyon Green in the first round last year, another guy that had an up and down rookie season, but somebody that you'd like to see take big strides because he's on an offensive line that has good players. Laremy Tunsil is one of the better tackles in football. I'm glad that they didn't just trade Laremy Tunsil for the sake of trading Laremy Tunsil. We've talked about it before. Trevor, Tytus Howard took the right strides this year. So now you can start to see a blueprint on the offensive line where you're trying to fill in holes to make that a really good unit. I think where he struggled is, and with the situation with John Mechie is wildly unfortunate and sad that, you know, obviously being diagnosed with cancer, that he couldn't make a rookie impact, but they don't have a ton of skill talent. Damian Pierce was a really, really nice find.
Huge hit.
You know, at tight ends, even a guy like Brevin Jordan, like they have some finds here, and Nico Collins has been up and down, but they don't have a guy in this offense at skill town. I think that's something that they're going to need to get for the young quarterback that's eventually in there as well. And then I think with DeMeco Ryans, you just feel like this defense is going to kind of fix itself. He's going to bring in some guys. We'll get into free agency. He knows how to draft. He's a great scheme. He's a great coach. So I don't really worry about that. I think what Nick Caserio has to hone in on these next 2 years is finding a way to make this offense more explosive, because that's something the Texans have just been utterly horrific at in his 2 years here.
Yeah, so and it's going to start with quarterback, right? We assume that the number 2 overall pick is going to be a quarterback selection. You know, there was some talk about what Davis Mills could potentially be for him. I know that it wasn't just out of nowhere that this team was like, hey, like, let's give Davis Mills a shot. Like, I think it was a legit shot for Davis Mills. It wasn't that, hey, we've got nobody else, so we're just going to tell the media that we think this could be the guy. I really do believe that they had some faith in Mills that he could figure it out. But you know, with him not really being able to up the consistency, still having the turnovers, just not being that dynamic of a quarterback weapon, it's a clear sign to move on, especially when you have the number two overall pick in a decent quarterback class at the top. I think they're going to take a swing at one of those guys. We'll get into the needs a little bit later in the episode. But, you know, as I look at Caserio's draft history here, it's tough. You know, he takes over in 2021. Doesn't have a first round pick. His first selection is the Davis Mills selection.
Didn't have a second rounder, buddy.
Didn't have a second rounder either. I should have said that as well. I don't know why I didn't. But you know, this 2021 draft, it's Davis Mills, it's Nico Collins, both in the third round, and then you got 2 5th round picks: Brevin Jordan, Garrett Wallow, and then of course the GOAT Roy Lopez in the sixth round. What an incredible find from
that's
Nick
a good
Caserio.
Find. Nice role player.
No, it is a good find. No, all jokes aside, like that is a good find, but. It kind of comes down to you can't really expect anything in that draft class. What do you want at that point? Right. And of course the Deshaun Watson situation as well, with him holding out. And then obviously the sexual assault things where he never even plays again for the Houston Texans. And with Deshaun Watson going out, he finds the right buyer to give him multiple picks for Watson. Last year was really his first draft in which I think that you could judge him. And he goes with a blue chip player, a guy that I really liked, my number one overall player last year in Derek Stingley. I'm not trying to be biased, but I like the selection at 3, and I think that he's going to be totally fine. He's an incredibly talented player. Kenyon Green, up and down year, but that's okay. I kind of figured that would be the case. Jalen Petrie, high highs, low lows, a lot of missed tackles last year, but he still played well. I still think he could be a good football player. The only top 60 offensive selection that he's had in the past 2 years was John Metchie in the second round last year. And obviously John Metchie, you just went over, he didn't play. Outside of that, it's Nico Collins at 89. It's Damian Pierce at 107. I mean, you're not going to light the world on fire offensively with guys like that. So it's hard to, it's really hard to even expect much. Now, I think the area for concern is the back-to-back head coaching firings after one season. You know, you hire Lovie Smith last year, and moving on from Cully, okay, that's fine. Maybe they always knew that was going to be the case. But then you hire Lovie Smith, clearly as a scapegoat, right? I mean, it was just clearly a scapegoat hire.
The team overachieved. They didn't end up picking number one. Seriously.
No, I mean,
look at their roster.
It's true. But maybe it all worked out for them with D'Amico Ryans. Like maybe it just all happened to fall in their lap and the timing worked out exactly the way they wanted. Now I'll tell you this, if they would have gotten the number one overall pick and you would tell me that this team's getting Bryce Young out of this upcoming 2023 NFL draft class, then I would have told you that the entire process worked. They tanked enough to get Bryce, the best quarterback in this class. They got their head coach in D'Amico Ryans. So maybe that timing is there, but it's just a little uneasy when you look at it, back-to-back head coaching firings. It's tough to sell as a stable GM with a stable environment. So I do think that's a little bit of cause for concern, but perhaps they don't even pay a price for it. Because if they would have paid a price, you would have felt like it would have been in D'Amico Ryans telling them no, right? I don't trust you. I don't trust the direction of where this is going. But he didn't. He signed on. They got their guy. So maybe it's not even going to matter in the long run.
Maybe not. I think for the Texans, my two things I would write down for Nick Caserio would be you need to get tougher in the front seven, a lot tougher in the front seven. You need to be a more competitive football team in the front seven. It can't just be Jerry Hughes is your only pass rusher, and you need to be so much better against the run. And if you think D'Amico Ryans is coming in there and is tolerating a team that is one of the worst run defenses football, I got news for you. That's not going to happen.
No.
The second thing would be team speed on offense, right? They just need to be a faster team on the offensive side of the football. They need to find a way to get more explosive plays. Obviously, the quarterback has a huge hand in that as well. But once again, they still need more talent at wide receiver. They do need a starting tight end in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you need a second running back to pair with Damian Pierce because that's the league these days. I'm not saying draft one in the first three rounds, but maybe get a lightning to Damian Pierce's thunder. So they have plenty of work to do. I think they got the right guy at head coach. And now, Trevor, we can kind of transition to him and talk about what D'Amico Ryans might be thinking when he gets his hands on this roster.
Yep. I definitely want to do that. I've got a quote from Caserio himself just to kind of wrap up that I believe this is a couple of weeks ago after the season ended. The quote is, "I have a responsibility and I understand. Let's be real. Let's be honest. The clock is ticking." That's what Caserio said himself. "Time is short, but that's okay. We work in a high pressure environment. Expectations are high and it's all about performance. If I don't do my job well enough, and quite frankly, some probably think that I haven't done my job well enough at this point, that is more than fair." So he realizes it. He gets it. This is not somebody who is going to sit back and say, whoa, everybody calm down. The process working exactly the way that it's supposed to. I think he realizes the timing of it. I think he realizes that if this team does not take significant strides in the right direction, he's going to be out the door. And he obviously hit a home run in the head coaching hire of D'Amico Ryans, a first-year head coach. A little background information for D'Amico before we kind of get into our thoughts on him and how he might build out this team here. First-time head coach. And in fact, he's only been coaching since 2017. You know, he's only been coaching for 5 seasons now, which is incredible. The fact that he has vaulted himself into the head coach position, I think that really speaks to his character and how football smart he is. Just 38 years old. If you go back to his playing days, he's a former linebacker, chose Alabama because he's from Alabama, ended up winning Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC during his senior season. But also I read these notes from him that just go to his leadership and his character. So during Hurricane Katrina, Ryans donated all of his per diem even then as somebody who wanted to care about those around him. He won the Lott Impact Trophy, the only award in college football where the character of somebody is weighed alongside the field performance. So just a total package of a human being, of an award that you give to a fantastic college football player. He's got his degree in management, graduated early from Alabama as well, ended up being a second round pick to the Houston Texans, where he played from 2006 to 2011, ended up getting traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. And what the Philadelphia Eagles also had to say about him when they went after him, when they acquired him, just unbelievable praise. And Kyle Shanahan, now his former head coach, had this to say about him. And this is an incredible quote, I think. "D'Amico is so naturally talented. He's good at everything he has ever done, and he really understands football. He did as a player. He did as a quality control coach his first year. He did as a linebackers coach after that, and he has as a coordinator. He was so good right away. But anytime you have somebody who does those types of abilities, the more reps they get, like everybody, they only get better as they go on." So he that was his progression. Started off as a defensive quality control coach in 2017, moved up to the linebackers coach, eventually took over as a defensive coordinator when Robert Saleh left. Robert Saleh was his defensive coordinator the entire time that he was there until he took the reins, or I should say the headset from Saleh when he left for the New York Jets. He ended up interviewing with the Minnesota Vikings last head coaching cycle, but I don't know if it was just, you know, who knows exactly what it was that swayed him back to San Francisco. But I can tell you, having the defensive stars that he did, the players on the defense that he did, certainly went into him wanting to go back to San Francisco and coach that group up again for another year. And we saw the results this year, one of the best, if not the best defense in the NFL. So that is D'Amico Ryans. Connor, what do you think about him, his background, everything as he approaches this job here with the Texans?
Really a guy to be excited about. And you just don't always say that with head coaching hires. They feel kind of like there's a lot of variance with them, especially for the average fan that just doesn't know. And that's okay to not know. But everybody I've talked to that's been around D'Amico Ryans, I talked to a couple people that were working for the Texans when he played there. They said it's just like having literally another coach on the roster for the team. One of the best leaders they had ever been around. And then you look at his road to being a coach after being such a good player and an impressive person. It's kind of funny you brought up Saleh, who he took over for with the 49ers. Saleh wasn't the assistant linebackers coach when D'Amico was playing for the Texans. So they've had a long road together.
Love that.
I think that gives you even more hope when you look at what D'Amico did with the Niners defense after Saleh left, what Saleh did in year two with the Jets defense when he came in there and they had nothing on that roster. It kind of gives you even more confidence that by year two of the Texans defense, I think it's going to be a top 10 unit in football, just because that's what these guys do. They are advanced in terms of their scheme, their teaching, their assessment and evaluating of talent, and their leadership. And D'Amico is really next up in line of that. So I'm a fan of him for what he stands for and the kind of coach he is and what he implements. And, you know, kind of brings me to what the Niners were as a team this year. You just look at coverages. they have fully embraced that we run everything kind of mold, right? Yes, predominantly the coverage they live in the most is cover three, that they play 38.6% of the time, which is pretty high metric in terms of the league right now. A lot of teams have gotten away from cover three as offenses have been able to exploit that. But 16.8% in quarters, over 15% in cover one. They'll line up and play man. They'll sprinkle in zero, but not really much. And then 13.4% cover two, and even around 7% cover six. And why I'm saying this is because he's somebody that will throw the house at you. He will try to keep the quarterback on his toes. He expects a lot of his defensive backs. And most importantly, with that amount of coverages, the most important thing with the scheme always is the front four getting home, impacting the quarterback, where he doesn't have time to dissect what's in front of him because of how many times what he's seeing on the back end is changing. So I think DeMeco has huge expectations of everybody on his defense mentally, and team speed is so important as well. It's something that's always been important for the Niners during this Kyle Shanahan era, but I think it's definitely something to keep in mind as we head into free agency and the draft, the kind of players he's going to be looking for. And of course, Trevor, the kind of players that maybe will be amplified or get a bump from his scheme and teaching. And Derek Stingley and Jalen Petrie have to be, I think, the two guys that we have our eyes on in that mold.
Yeah, look, we don't have to sugarcoat his success with the San Francisco 49ers. They got damn good players, right? You know, yeah, it's easier to be a good coordinator when you got really good players to work
defensive
with, right?
Defensive player of the year. Nick Bosa,
he's got one of the best defensive players in the NFL in Nick Bosa. He also has one of the best defensive players in the NFL in Fred Warner, who is just an unbelievable linebacker chess piece. The fact that Warner got to work with a guy like DeMeco Ryans, who had played that position at such a high level with such high intelligence, those two getting to work together, it was a match made in heaven. I think you saw a lot of the success this past year. Talanoa Hufanga has been an unbelievable player for them as a versatile guy, especially over the middle of the field, what he's been able to do as an enforcer, as a coverage player, as a free roaming guy. You know, they had Tre'Davious Ward on the outside, who I think was really able to help them out. Jimmy Ward, when he was healthy and out there to play in the nickel. So there were so many different players that went into this, but the more that I kind of was reading about DeMeco Ryans and the scheme that San Francisco plays and how he might be structuring and emphasizing some of the additions to his defense moving forward, it does still feel like that Bill Belichick old school build the defense from the inside out. From the linebackers and the interior defensive linemen, the strong safeties over the middle, and then you are building it out from there. You are solidifying the middle, and then that's not to say that they're not going to prioritize corner or like edge rusher over an interior defensive lineman if it doesn't make sense. But you look at this linebacker group for the San Francisco 49ers, everybody loves to point to Fred Warner, but it wasn't just Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw was also unbelievable. Azeez Al-Shaair was probably the best LB3 in the NFL, right? It felt like Greenlaw was the best LB2. It felt like Azeez Al-Shaair was the best LB3. So it just felt like they, across the board, had the best linebacker unit in the NFL. When you look at the Texans, they have Christian Kirksey, who is about to enter the second year of a 10-year deal, but he's going to be 30 years old. They can cut him and actually save $5 million in the cap. They drafted Christian Harris last year. That's about it. I mean, they got Jalen Reeves maybe on the team. Blake Cashman's on the team. But, man, if there was an elite linebacker, like an off-ball linebacker to be had in this draft, I genuinely think they'd be drafted 1-12. And I think that over the next 2 years, DeMeco Ryans, one of his main plans is, I have to find my centerpiece. I have to find my defensive centerpiece. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a name for next year, maybe a Jeremiah Trotter Jr., right? Somebody that from Clemson who looks like he could be a first round pick the way that he's been playing this past season. But whoever it's going to be, I think that that's going to be a main emphasis of his. Now, when it comes to safety play, so Petrie played, where is this? 25 snaps as a strong safety. No, he played more than that. He played about 140 snaps as a strong safety. He played 95 as a slot corner. He played, 81 as a linebacker? No, 120 as a linebacker. They even had him line up as edge 73. They had this dude all over the place. Okay, maybe Petrie is going to be his talent over Hufanga. Maybe he's going to take Jalen Petrie and say, hey, you be that kind of roaming player. Now, they're built differently. Like, I'm not saying this is like a one-for-one player comp, but I'm just trying to think of like roster composition, positions that I feel like they're going to prioritize moving forward. And I think linebacker's one of them. I think finding that strong safety that can be this roaming player, whether it's Petrie or not. And then, of course, you gotta figure things out on the defensive line. And I think they got good corners as well. But that's just my thoughts overall with how I could see him building that team, given the success that he's had in San Francisco. But what do you think?
Well, I think, number one, they got to get guys that can rush the passer and at least be competitive against the run. And when it comes down to it, this is a team that did not have a double-digit sack player last year. 34-year-old Jerry Hughes led the team with 9 sacks. After that, it was just kind of this motley crew. Okoronkwo having 5, Rasheem Green having 3.5, Malik Collins having 3.5, and then Kirksey and Cashman each had 3. So they are getting no pass rush production at all. And you're looking at D'Amico coming over, and guess what? He can't bring Nick Bosa with him, right? So that kind of hurts everything. But you know who is a free agent, Trevor, that's kind of interesting to me, is Samson Ebukam from the 49ers. And is he your number one pass rusher or anything like that? No, but you need pieces right now. You just need guys that can play. I mean, Ebukam's coming off a season where he had 35 hurries, 9 quarterback hits, and 6 sacks, the way PFF measures pressures and sack production. So maybe Ebukam's a guy that, before he turns 28, he ends up coming over with D'Amico. They have a couple interesting free agents in San Francisco that you wonder if D'Amico is going to be that kind of guy. Do I bring over an Emmanuel Mosley? There's just a couple different, Kerry Hyder. Like, does he look at guys like that? Jimmy Ward, as you say, they need a safety next to Petrie, we think. Or do they just explore the external market, which we're going to get to here in just a minute? So I think this is a team that I think they got to pay at least 2 guys for the front 7 in free agency. And then you wonder, you brought up linebacker, kind of got my wheels spinning, a guy we didn't get to talk about in Mock Draft Monday. And I don't know if he'd be in play at 12, maybe. I mean, we didn't do linebackers yet, so I'm not going to act like I could speak, length to length yet on this player, and we will. But it's Drew Sanders from Arkansas, the guy that, he transferred from Alabama, goes to Arkansas, explodes, former 5-star. I believe he was the top player coming out of high school football in Texas in his recruiting year. Is Drew Sanders going to be a guy that's in play for Houston? With what you're saying, Trevor, how much they value a talent in the middle of the field, Sanders is a guy that can actually give you a little bit of that pass rush, having 9.5 sacks last year, but is going to play off the ball more often than not. So it just has me wondering, what is D'Amico coming in and looking at and saying, well, we got to be better here and we got to be better here. And that's not negotiable. We can't wait 2 years from now and hope something figures it out. For us to be competitive right away, I need a guy in this spot. And I do think the middle of the field at linebacker really comes into play, because I think you can fill out your defensive line depth by not giving out those tier one contracts in free agency. And the Texans are in a flexible spot. They have, I think, over $25 million in active cap space. So they have room to clear out more. They can get involved in the free agent market to help their defense. And I think most importantly, Trevor, something that a lot of people probably won't discuss because they don't think of free agency like this, D'Amico is somebody that is a great motivator and guy that guys will go to play for, right? When guys are signing free agents and they're moving their family and they're committing to a place for maybe 3 to 4 years, depending on the guaranteed money, I mean, it's unfortunate, but they probably looked at David Culley and said, I don't know how long he's going to be there. The Lovie Smith situation, that's a little different. I don't think a lot of people were expecting him to be a one and done, and we're not going to go down that road again. But with D'Amico there, 6-year contract, stability, excellent scheme, excellent teacher. It's a football team, at least on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see a quarterback plan. They're going to be able to recruit free agents on defense.
Yeah. We'll dig into that free agent conversation because it's a natural transition into it. But before we get there, I do need to talk to the good people about our friends over at DraftKings. You guys ready for the biggest Sunday in sports? It's coming up this weekend. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all the Super Bowl action that you need. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on Super Bowl 57's excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boost. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so if you're different time, you got to change the time a little bit. to see what prop bets will be boosted for that day. DraftKings is a lot of fun since it became legal in Ohio. I've been a frequent of DraftKings, and they, like I said, I've won a decent amount of change here, which I'm going to be putting on some Super Bowl bets as well. Yeah, of course. Sunglasses only next podcast. I can't let you guys see the eyes anymore. Can't be doing it. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the promo code PFF. New customers can bet just $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the promo code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. You talked about free agency. According to Over the Cap, I think that the Texans have 37.1 mil in cap space.
And then there's the active space that cuts out the drafts money needed, right? Because they're going to need a lot of money for their draft picks.
That's a good point.
They have all those. They have what, 5 picks in the first 3 rounds, 2 in the top 12. That people forget. Those are not $1 million a year contracts. They do take up plenty of cap space.
They got 12 draft picks.
Yeah, so they need a lot of money set aside for.
They have 4 6 round picks. You need to be. They're moving on from those. They're not making 12 picks. You can't be making 12. You're not making. You got to either move up the draft or move into next year. You got
to. They still have a lot of money to work with.
They're not going
to
be making 12. But yeah, they do. They have a lot of money to work with. I'm looking at PFF's free agent report list. Top 100 free agents available.
I'm doing the same thing.
And I searched it for edge rushers. You're right. Ebukam kind of does make sense. I'm looking at the rest of the edge rushers, and it's not as robust. As I thought it was going to be.
It's bad.
Marcus Davenport's here. So if you believe in Marcus Davenport, okay. Healthy, or when he's healthy, he's good, but hasn't played more than 600 snaps in a single season. Jadeveon Clowney, they're not going to bring Jadeveon Clowney back. Charles Omenihu, who they traded to San Francisco. Maybe they traded him to San Francisco because D'Amico Ryans believed in him more. And maybe he's more interested, but I think that if they're going to bring in a San Francisco guy, it's probably Ebukam. Arden Key, okay.
Coached by D'Amico 2 years ago.
He was.
It was his first year in Jacksonville. Arden Key had his breakout season under D'Amico in San Francisco.
Okay. Okoronkwo is on here from the Texans, so he's an unrestricted free agent. Yannick Ngakoue.
He'd be more of their...
Brandon Graham.
Well, this is kind of dating myself, but he'd be more NASCAR package for them, even though he played a full complement of snaps the last 2 years.
Who would?
Ngakoue. That wouldn't be a guy that would play in their base defense, in my opinion.
Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston.
We're getting down the list here. I would bring Ebukam with me.
Okay.
If I was him. Or Arden Key. I don't know.
Arden Key would be a good one.
Arden Key's a really good one. They obviously let him walk to Jacksonville. Jacksonville didn't pay him that much, and they still let him walk. So I don't know. I think Key's the better player than Ebukam, but I think Ebukam has been very solid. They're both young. Key's 26, about going to turn 27. Ebukam's going to turn 28. That's fine. These guys aren't getting crazy contracts.
Man, there's two linebackers hitting free agency that I think could definitely be Houston Texans. David Long's one of them.
Ooh,
David Long had a great year for the Tennessee Titans. The other one, and this pains me deeply, Connor.
Okay.
Deeply. It's Lavonte David. If the Bucs are in a position where they're just hitting total rebuild on the franchise now that Tom Brady's not coming back, are they going to give Lavonte David legacy money just to not watch him play on another team? Because Lavonte's probably only got one, maybe two more contracts left in the tank. He's playing very, very well. But linebacker, it's just such a physical position. It's just going to start to drop off. So are the Bucs going to give him that legacy contract to make sure that he started his career and ends his career in Tampa Bay? If they don't, you could at least get one really good year out of Lavonte David next year if you're D'Amico Ryans.
So unless those Lavonte ring chases. That would be the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
Listen, Texans fans, the arrow is pointing up and things are looking good, but you're not getting ring chasing players just yet.
No, it's true. That's true. You're correct.
But hey.
But those are the two. Those are the only two that I feel like are high impact linebackers that could tempt them. Because when you look
what
at
if
the
they gave the bag to Tremaine Edmonds,
I guess. But
He had his best year in 2022. The Bills are not in the greatest cap spot. I think they'll figure it out with him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely took a step up this year. Trumaine did. I'm looking at his stats and his numbers now. Yeah.
Remember when he came into the league, he was 20.
Oh, I mean, Trumaine Edmonds is still 19 years old, dude.
It really feels that way.
Brother, he's in range to date Leonardo DiCaprio still, which is crazy.
God, what a hit. Oh, man. Hey. Judgment-free zone.
Of course. No, it's fine. No, look, he can do it. Do what he wants. I'm saying he could date Jermaine Nemitz. That was a statement about Jermaine Nemitz.
He has not turned 25 yet.
It was not a statement. No. Wait, how old is he actually?
He will turn 25 this offseason.
He's legitimately not 25 yet?
No.
Man, I thought I was joking.
No, dude.
I'm not. It's actually a better statement than I thought it was. It was a better zinger than I thought.
Yes, it hit. I hit.
Okay, so I mean, I think he's probably on the list too. When you look at the Texans' needs, quarterback's number one, but they're not hitting a veteran in the quarterback market. Like even Aaron Rodgers at the very top, he's not coming to Houston. It's not happening. You're drafting a quarterback. I think edge rusher's the second greatest need. You hit on that hard. Wide receiver, I think, is third. And the reason why I think it's third is because you got to get out of the Brandon Cooks deal. Okay. Brandon Cooks is, how old is Brandon Cooks now?
He's got to be 30 now.
I think he's 30. He's 29.
He turns 30, I think, this offseason. He turns 30 September of next year.
Okay.
So Brandon Cooks has been in the NFL for 14 years.
Brandon Cooks.
And been on 35 different teams and played in a couple different Super Bowls. And he's 29.
He keeps getting traded for first round picks. So look, the thing is,
Brandon Cooks a Ponzi scheme? Or a pyramid scheme. He's a pyramid scheme.
Both. Could be both.
Like, you get Brandon Cooks, but then you're going to convince somebody else to get Brandon Cooks. And we keep getting first round picks. Who's next?
Yeah. If you sell this contract, then you get some of it, but then I get a little bit of it because I hired you. And then the guys under you can get some of their commission. That's how Brandon Cooks is. Brandon Cooks' cap hit last year was $9.7 million. Okay, not bad. Pretty good. Good wide receiver. His cap hit this year is $26 million. His cap hit next year is $24.6 million. The issue is, the way the contract is structured, they cannot cut this man. Now, he wanted to be traded at the deadline. He does not want to be in Houston anymore. Well, I guess I can't say for this very moment, but I have to imagine that he probably doesn't want to be in Houston anymore, even with D'Amico Ryans being there. I got to think that he probably still wants to be gone. He wants to go to a contender. Like you said, he's about to be 30 years old. If they cut him, it is $34 million in dead cap.
That's not happening.
And in fact, $7 million of that, it just becomes a negative cap saving. So they don't save anything if they cut him.
It hurts to cut Brandon Cooks.
If they trade him, let's say pre-June 1st, for draft assets, then it's only $16 million dead cap. And when you see these $26 million on the cap, it means you're saving $10 million if you could trade him for his draft assets. If you trade him after June 1st, if you can finagle your way into doing that, it's only $8 million dead cap, and you're saving $18 million.
So he's a post June 1 trade guy.
You would think, but if you want to deal him for draft assets, you're probably going to bite the bullet, right? And you're just going to go get draft assets in this year's draft.
Yeah, you could. You could. If I was D'Amico, I would not want to do that because I have
six years
of job security. If I'm Nick Caserio, a little different.
Hold on. Texans future picks. What do they got next year? Next year, they have Cleveland's one again. You could trade Brandon Cooks for a second round pick, and then you have a 1, a 1, a 2, a 2, a 3, Ooh. A 4, a 4, a 5. Yeah, I think that you should do that. Trade him after June for next year's second round pick at somebody, like a contender. And then you save $18 million on the cap and you get an extra second round pick because you already got 12 draft picks this year. So you can't even sign all those guys, anyways.
So now you have to get a wide receiver.
Yeah, and wide receiver and free agency isn't good.
It's not good, and it's not really that good in the draft.
But you don't
honestly.
Have to, like, you don't have to, like, don't panic, right? Caserio might feel like he needs to make some moves, but who are you going to get at wide receiver? Who's out there? Who do we got?
They're not getting DeAndre Hopkins.
They're not getting DeAndre Hopkins.
I can eliminate someone.
Jacoby Myers is our top free agent wide receiver.
You know what? I don't hate that fit if they drafted Bryce Young. Get a really good possession guy.
Yeah, backup quarterback. No, okay. I don't hate Jacoby Myers. Next on the list is Juju Smith-Schuster. Next on the list is Odell Beckham Jr. He's not going to sign with Houston.
No, and they should not sign him.
Next one's Michael Thomas.
Stop. He's been a headache.
Little one-year deal? Can't do that. Little one-year deal? Little one-year deal action? DJ Chark? Alan Lazard? Paris Campbell?
I like Chark's speed in this offense. I think you need somebody that threatens down the field to open up the run game.
If you take Brandon Cooks off of this team, you've got John Mechie, Amari Rodgers, Nico Collins. You have three receivers under contract. Philip Dorsett's free.
That sounds like 2025, like XFL, not counting Mechie.
Philip Dorsett's a free agent. Chris Moore's a free agent. Yeah, you need to. Yeah.
I don't know if you can trade Cooks because you also need your rookie quarterback to have somebody to throw the football to.
No, you got
to
trade Cooks. You got to trade Cooks. Sign two of these guys. Sign Jacoby Myers. DJ Chark. And then you got those two, plus John Mechie coming back. We're probably going to draft at least one receiver in this little mini mock draft we're going to do.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. Day two.
And then if you really want to go in all in on a superstar, let's see. 2024 free agents. Let's do it. Let's create the plan.
They're not getting T. Higgins, so don't even do it, by the way.
All right, T. Higgins. No, they're not getting T. Higgins. I don't think T. Higgins is going anywhere.
No.
Let's see.
What a stupid thing that was.
Wide receivers that are up in 2024. Mike Evans, no. No.
Yeah, they should trade for Mike Evans. That
Jerry
good.
Judy, C.D. Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Tyler Boyd, Curtis
None
Samuel, Corey Davis. I'm not done. Calvin
Justin
Ridley,
Jefferson's not
Michael
be a
Pittman
free agent.
Jr.
CeeDee Lamb's not going to be a free agent.
Michael Pittman Jr., T. Higgins.
Not going to be a free agent. Not going to be a free agent.
Chase Claypool.
Oh, yeah.
Gabe Davis.
Great plan.
Okay. Darnell Mooney.
Okay.
Quez Watkins, fast this Batman.
This is all 24?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of these guys aren't hitting the market. Because
they go away. They get extended in-house.
Yeah. Right. All right, okay. So Tyler Boyd, you are Houston Texan.
Tyler Boyd and Corey Davis.
No, come on, don't do that.
I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness,
Justin Jefferson,
you are Houston Texan. Yeah, I mean, this is a team that I think they're gonna spend on the defense, and maybe you go get an Alan Lazard or Jacoby Myers.
Mm-hmm.
To give your guy some, you know, a short area kind of player, especially Myers. Alan Lazard's one of the best run blockers in football, so that's an upside. There's a benefit there. Myers, one of the better possession targets in football. So that's your thought there. But where I'm really excited for this team is the draft, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have premium capital for the next 2 years.
They do.
Despite this getting the reputation of a bad draft class, the Texans can walk away with a lot of good players in this draft class, especially seated with the number 2 and number 12 overall picks. And this is going to be how they turn it around. They can plug a couple holes, well, you know, with the Nebukam and Jacoby Myers and players like that, and that make you a better roster and a more competitive football team. But the core of your team that gets you stars and playoff contention is how you draft. And that's ultimately what's going to decide the fate of this regime.
All right, let's do it. I don't know if you wrote a full mock down. I did. I didn't know if we were going to have two mocks we were going to bring to the table, or if we were going to collab here, or how you wanted to do it.
I was going to run the simulator to kind of see who I can't pick.
Okay. All right, I'll do the same.
But I will gladly flow with you can lie and just use your picks. It's okay.
No. I'll do the same here. Hold on.
Well, let me ask you the most important thing. Yeah. Are they making the trade with Chicago to get up to number one?
Let's say no.
Are we saying somebody did trade up and take Bryce Young?
Yes.
Okay. I like that. Because we've done it the other way already. So let's do it this way.
Yeah. So, I mean, the mock that I wrote down is Bryce Young / CJ Stroud. Just pick one of them. It doesn't matter.
Same. I do think they will consider Levis, but I agree with you.
Yeah. So we'll go. Let's just go CJ Stroud at 2.
Okay. I'm cool with that. Now we're on the clock at 12.
Now they're at 12. I think it should be the next best offensive lineman.
Either I have Skoronski on the board.
Either Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. I have Skoronski on the board.
So in my scenario, the Falcons took Paris Johnson Jr. at 8. Mm-hmm. I still think the Titans would have taken him in front of them. So we probably go Skoronski here.
Yeah.
This line's trying to look really good.
Just because I understand that I said that edge rusher, the way that I had the Texans' knees lined up is quarterback number one, edge rusher number two, wide receiver number three. And then I didn't get to mention this, but interior offensive line I have as number four. You can draft Peter Skoronski and play him at guard or shoot center, whatever. You're probably not playing your number 12 overall pick at center, but you could draft Peter Skoronski at 12 and know that if Tytus Howard doesn't work out the way you want him to, let's say Tytus Howard even struggles early on in the season, you could flip those guys. You can put Howard in the middle. You can put Howard on the guard spot and you can put Peter Skoronski on the outside, and you already know that he's got good tape out there. So to me, then you're really solid if Kenny Green takes that next step with a really dang good offensive line. So I would go O-line here. That's what I would do. Do you agree?
I do. I think it's something we agreed on in the mock draft as well.
Okay. All right. So we're going Skoronski at 12. Now we're up again at 33 at the top of the second round. All right.
So there's two players available right now that I have my eye on in this pick.
Okay.
It is Trenton Simpson from the Clemson linebacker.
Okay.
And Drew Sanders, the Arkansas linebacker.
Do I have Sanders? I don't have Trenton Simpson.
He's 40th on the simulator board.
I do have Drew Sanders here.
What do you think? Does that intrigue you?
It does intrigue me. There are two players who are a little bit higher on the board.
Okay.
In either BJ Ojulari or Will McDonald that I thought.
I'm very intrigued by Ojulari.
I
think he's gone. Yeah, he went already in mine. So we'll play best ball here, right?
Okay. Like,
golf version, whoever has the best scenario on the table, we will go with. So we will pretend that Ojulari does exist despite him being gone in my simulator.
Okay. So, all right. Now we're doing a little like two, maybe we can like diverge and have like two different mocks here. I'll go Ojulari, go Sanders, and then let's see kind of how it progresses after this. So that was pick number 33. Now their next selection is 65. Yeah. 65, front of the third round. All right. Let's see, who do we got here?
Oh, I know. I'm running my card in.
Oh, really?
Like running. I took my card and I am the Forrest Gump.
Who do you have?
Keanu Benton at 65.
Oh, yeah.
There's somebody I have here that I would not do because it's not realistic. Deontay Banks is on my board. He's not going to be there.
Yeah, 65. He's on mine too. I don't think he'll make it here.
No.
I
do think
I have
Benton will be there or could be there.
I think he could be there. I have Adetemiwa Adebware here.
So that was my number two guy who is also there for me.
I have Rashee Rice, but I don't think I'm picking Rice over him. Noah Sewell is here. No, okay. I think I'm going Adetemiwa Adebware.
I'm curious for our linebacker show because I didn't watch Sewell this year. We did. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you and I watched a ton of him this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like he fell off the face of the earth. I mean, he was in round one of every mock preseason, and I don't ever see him anywhere. So I'm excited to do our linebacker show.
Yeah. By the way, Connor just buried the lead right there. We're not doing wide receivers tomorrow. I know we said we were going to do wide receivers, but there's a reason why we're not going to do wide receivers.
We can't tell you that reason either.
Well, I think we can.
Oh, we can.
Yeah, but we'll do it at the end of the show.
Okay, let's finish the mock draft.
Okay, let's finish the mock.
Keanu Benton for me.
Okay, I'm gonna pick Adebware, the Northwestern defensive
tackle. I watched more of him when I got home from Mobile.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Very impressed.
Love to hear it.
Was disappointed in myself that I didn't see enough of him when we did that show.
Texans at 73 now. So this is the final pick.
He's still there for me, by the way. I cheated the system.
Adebowale
is. I'm not going to take him. Yeah, Adebowale is still here.
You know who's here for me that I think I'm going to end up selecting?
Who's that?
Is DeMarvion Overshown.
I think I have him too. Yep.
But you picked Sanders.
I took Sanders already, so I don't go linebacker.
I want to go Overshown here because he is just a really unique player. He's a taller, longer linebacker was a converted safety, who's got a lot of speed. Man, I think D'Amico Ryans could do a lot with Overshown. So I'm going to go Overshown here.
Okay.
I'm going to take him.
I'm just backtracking our draft right now. Man, I'm pretty happy with this.
I am
to be
too.
Honest with you.
I like this.
I need to check one thing.
Oh, I think Keanu Benn was actually on the board for me, and I didn't pick him.
Texans are lads. So I have a couple of really good players here.
I like this draft.
Yeah, the Texans are, I think, a ton of fun to draft for.
I didn't get a wide receiver, but it's just like,
what are you going to do?
Who am I going to pick? Yeah,
exactly. Do you think they are happy with Desmond King in the slot?
I don't know. I honestly don't
these
have.
These are the nitty gritty things that are can be tough for. So
Texans fans tell us.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. He after two really down years in our system, he had a solid coverage grade, like almost a 72. I don't know. Once again, I personally don't use that as my end all be all by far, but interesting. So here's Trevor. I'll walk you through my process of why I asked.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take at 73 Clark Phillips. And
I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't know. Smaller corners, you never
maybe
know.
Maybe he will.
I truly don't know.
It kind of just depends what they want to do with Jalen Petrie. Because Petrie also plays slot.
He does, but he's like a flex safety. Like he can play free, he can
I wouldn't
play
hate,
strong.
I mean, I wouldn't hate
overhang.
Clark Phillips. He's a good player.
I think Clark can also survive on the outside in a pinch.
I think so too.
This is tricky. So Clark Phillips, you're right. I don't like how this broke at wide receiver at
no,
all.
No, yeah. This is a tough.
It's not.
Either you're like drafting. Basically, if you're the Texans going through this exercise, you're either drafting a wide receiver at 34 or 35, wherever they're picking. Can't remember exactly where it was. Or you're like not drafting one at all.
I have one player. And I actually think when all said and done, he might not be here at 73 because of the lack of speed in this wide receiver class. Tyler Scott from Cincinnati. He's going to fly in Indy.
Oh, okay.
I might go. I'm really torn between him and Clark Phillips. He could fly, absolutely fly. And they do need team speed. I'm gonna take Tyler Scott and assume that they're okay with their secondary right now. So this is so we did it a little different. Mm-hmm. Waiting for my simulator in, but also pretty we had the same thought process going in. It was just a matter of how the draft fell. Which, full transparency for everybody, because I've asked about this to people that, you know, are fortunate enough to actually do this for a living, not just on simulators. Dude, they run like millions of simulators leading up to draft now teams to try to put percentiles on likely outcomes. It's just and their hardware it's pretty powerful. Let me just say that. So it's interesting.
And they have a lot of intel that goes into like the weight of players and picks.
That's why their software is, you know, it's powerful.
You mean you're telling me they're not just running the PFF mock draft simulator?
It would be a lot cooler if they did.
I had CJ Stroud at the top. Peter Skoronski is my number 12. That was the same for us. I went a little bit different than Connor did. I went BJ Ojulari in the top of the second round, then Adetomiwa Adebowale, the interior defensive lineman from Northwestern, but a guy who could play inside and out, really. And then I did give him a linebacker. I went with Texas's DeMarvion Overshown, a very uniquely built linebacker prospect. So no wide receiver. Man, I didn't see that coming. did not think that that was going to be the case, but I didn't love any of the receivers as I was getting beyond the first round.
I had Stroud at number two overall with Bryce going number one, Skoronski at 12. Where it got different for me is I took Drew Sanders at 33.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a off-ball linebacker that they will absolutely use to rush on passing downs. Keanu Benton gets some beef in the middle of this defense. This run defense was bad last year. And then Tyler Scott, the speedy wide receiver out of Cincinnati at 73. Really tough debate for me. I like Clark Phillips a ton in this draft, but I think the Texans will be fine in the secondary last year. While speed was non-negotiable for me on offense, had to happen, had to have it.
There we go. We did it, buddy.
They're fixed.
We fixed the Texans. Brandon Cooks is out of there.
17-0.
CJ Stroud is going to be throwing to Jacoby Myers and DJ Chark the first season, but the defense is going to get better. And then you just go over the offensive onslaught next offseason, next draft, when the offense is better, hopefully.
Maybe, you know, it's funny to me.
Maybe draft like Kayshon Boutte in like the fifth round. I have no idea where Kayshon Boutte is going to get drafted. No idea.
His character or interview process will dictate that, because everybody just wants to know what went wrong at LSU. Yeah, like, why weren't you the star that everyone thought you'd be?
Right.
And maybe he'll have a great NFL career. We opened this show kind of with this whole, you know, oh, they need to catch up to Jacksonville now. And they do. Jacksonville is currently reigns supreme in this division. I was surprised to see from 2018 till January 1st of this year, when Jacksonville beat the Texans, the Texans had a 9-game win streak over Jacksonville.
What?
Yeah. According to footballdb.com database, Jacksonville, from the beginning of 2018 all the way till January 1st of this year, lost 9 times in a row to the Texans.
I mean, Jacksonville stinks, let's be honest.
But we look at the Texans the same way now. It's just crazy how one year can cloud your every. You're right, though. The Jackson, in fact, were bad.
they stunk.
Not in a row bad, though. Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that. I wouldn't have thought that. It's a much longer streak.
What would you guess? Let me close out with a fun one.
Uh-huh.
So they've played 42 times.
Fun.
What do you think the series is at?
Texans and Jags?
Yeah. 42 times.
Oh, I bet it's like,
I'll give you a hint. They've never tied.
Okay. I mean, I bet it's 28-14. Texans.
No fucking way.
No,
you didn't look that up. It's 28-14. They are 28-14 against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's go, baby. These hands were not on the computer. You guys know when they're on the computer. They weren't anywhere. Rewind the tape.
I there's no way you cheated. There's no way. Even your facial expression. I'm very good at sensing liars.
Uh-huh.
You were very authentic and just like 28-14. Wow. Yeah.
The only cheating I did here was just being a high IQ football individual. That's it.
You literally replayed every matchup.
I did
in
my
history.
Head. I said to myself, I was like,
you are analytics.
I was like, I want to say it's 30-12, but there's no way the number starts with a 3. So I'll just go 28-14.
Close.
28-14. Wow, that was great. I enjoyed that. What a great dub to go out on the podcast with.
That's just a massive dub. Texans are better. Trevor Masterclass on record predictions.
All right.
I have nothing left to say.
Are we telling the people why we're doing linebackers tomorrow and not wide receivers?
Yeah. Take the floor. Okay. I think it's really exciting. I think some people, as always, will have a like, oh my God, reaction, but I think it's exciting.
So, fans of the pod, sex addicts out there, if you will.
Yeah.
We're getting our own channel. We are getting our own channel on YouTube. So we're breaking away from the main PFF channel, and we're going to be starting our own channel on YouTube. Tell your friends. We want to tell you now at the end of this episode, and we're also going to tell you at the beginning of the linebacker episode on Thursday. Just please, I mean, I don't even say this from a viewership standpoint. I have loved so much reading all of y'all's comments Same. And everything to all of these videos. That has made this whole process so enjoyable for us. It has been a blast getting to talk NFL draft with you guys. Like I said, we're going to mention it at the top of the linebacker episode as well, so you guys can hear that. we weren't sure when it was going to take into effect, or we probably should, would have said it last episode on the mock draft episode, but we are officially going to get our own channel. We would love for you guys to subscribe and continue to watch it. We know that the numbers are going to be a little bit down to start, but like if you're interacting with people, remind them the show didn't get canceled out of nowhere. Cause that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of people listening or going to the PFF channel, not seeing NFL Stock Exchange and not seeing anything there. Maybe we'll be able to throw up a little like, hey, actually go over here video, but I don't know if that's going to be able to happen.
That'd be a really good idea. Audio people, if you are listening, you are completely unaffected.
Yeah, you're good.
Do not panic. Stay subscribed to the pod feed.
Yep.
Literally nothing will change for you. But I mean, it always surprises me because as long as I've been podcasting, I've mostly just done audio feeds. And this show, this has only been around a year, has a very impressive, loyal YouTube audience.
I know.
So if you are a loyal watcher of the show, I know this has gotten much more popular over the years. Some people I know put it on YouTube and just like having it on. They don't even have to watch. They just like the format of YouTube.
Yeah.
Please go subscribe to our channel. And I think if you're a huge fan of our show, you'll like it even better because everything we do will just be there. You're not sifting through different things. You are just, everything Stock Exchange is on the Stock Exchange channel.
Yep.
And it might even open up the door for Trevor and I to do more shorts and little things here and there. Or, you know, maybe if we have somebody on the pod, especially with the actual draft coming up and, you know, the beast of a series we did last year, like more little things here and there. So it's just, it's a very exciting long-term thing. We just need everybody to follow with us and subscribe to that channel when it opens up.
Yep. We would really, really appreciate it. We're creating that later this week. So
it's all free. You guys
will be able to see that. Yeah. It's all obviously
free. We're not charging for this podcast. Everything's free.
Not yet. Though.
Yes.
Soon it's going to be $100. Soon it's going to be $100 a minute.
No,
that
it'll
you
be
listen
an NFT.
To the show.
The podcast will be an NFT. If you don't own just the NFT, it's just a million different pictures of Trevor and I doing really stupid things. You have to own an NFT of us, and then you can download the podcast every week.
As always,
let us know what idea that was.
Let us know what you guys think of our plan to fix the Houston Texans. Even if you're not a Texas fan, we would love to hear from you guys and our philosophies of the draft and everything like that. We will be sure to update you guys as the new channel is created. The reason why we did linebacker is because, like, look, there's a handful of really great linebackers that are going to be impactful for their team, but we know that people love wide receivers. So we didn't want the wide receiver episode to be on the PFF channel if, like, people were going to come back and reference our work on the new channel. So we want to start, we will get wide receivers will be next week. We promise we want to get to it, but we wanted that to be part of the inaugural week on the new channel, because it's a great way to get conversation started. Cause everybody loves watching wide receivers. We know you guys got thoughts on wide receivers, and we're going to get to that at some point next week, but let us know what you thought of this episode. Hit us up in the comments, hit us up on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, at Connor J Rogers. You can hit us up on Instagram as well. It's a great place to interact with us, until we get the new channel, and then you can interact with us there. But I enjoyed this one, Connor. Any final notes, final words that you got before we get out of here?
Appreciate everybody that asked for this episode. It was crazy to see the Texans fans that really wanted the show. Hopefully it lived up to your expectations. And honestly, if it didn't, say what you would have done. I mean, that's the point of this, is a lot of different conversations here. Say what you would have liked to see, things you're hopeful for, things you're doubtful of, how you would approach the draft. I would even get on, if you were real diehard, run back the mock draft segment, run the simulator on pff.com yourself, be the Texans, and go through the scenarios that Trevor and I went through and see how yours shakes out. So I'm excited to do a couple more of these fixing the teams as well throughout the offseason.
If it didn't live up to your expectations, like, kick rocks, just like Connor said. Get out of here.
You're done.
Pound
don't
sand.
Don't come to the new channel. You weren't invited anyway.
We love all you guys out there. I'm Trevor Sigma. That's Connor Rogers. Thank you guys so much for listening to the NFL Stock Exchange. We'll see you next time.